Morning to John chapter number 8, and I really desire your prayers this morning. We're going to read about 10 verses, starting in verse number 30, John chapter number 8. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. Was it this Tuesday night Collegians is going to meet here in the fellowship hall? I'd mentioned this on Wednesday night, and Sister Julie had talked to some of the ladies about feeding the students that come out, and there's a sign-up sheet on the back, and if you've got any questions, see Sister Julie about that. But we'd mentioned that on Wednesday night. It was sort of sparse Wednesday night. We've had a lot of sickness, a lot of people out because of just being sick. And so let's remember one another along those lines. But I did want to mention that one more time. Well, we're going to read in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 30 down through verse number 40. John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 30. The Bible said, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I do thank you for letting us be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us. Lord, as we come this morning, I just ask that you would help as only you can. We have many objects of prayer, many things we're praying about, a lot of sickness in our midst. Lord, people facing surgeries and things like this. Lord, we do pray for each and every one. Lord, we pray for all the revivals that are going on. Lord, we pray for revival in our midst, in our country, our community, our churches. Lord, we need your help. We need your touch. I pray you'd speak to us this morning. I pray you'd give great liberty to preach the Word of God. Lord, I really feel the need of thy help today. I pray for power. I pray, Lord, for liberty and freedom of the Holy Spirit. God, that you just speak to our hearts and have your way. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. We ask that you'd bind the devil, that he'd not be able to hinder in the service this morning. But Lord, that you would just have your way. Speak to our hearts. We'll thank you for all that you do. We come asking it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's go back to verse number 30, and we'll begin there this morning. Read down through verse number 32 one more time. The Bible said, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this verse number 32, and verse number 36 are two of my probably most used verses or quoted verses on the radio broadcast I have, Blessings of Liberty. They're just great verses that we see here in the Word of God. Verse number 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And beside that verse, I've got this in my Bible. I've got no truth equals no freedom. If you don't have truth, you won't know freedom. Then verse number 36, I quote it quite often as well. It says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And beside that verse, I've got this written in my Bible: "No Son, no freedom." If you don't know the Son, you'll never know freedom in your life, in this life. So no truth, no freedom, no Son, no freedom. Now, those are good just by themselves, just like that. And that's the way I use it 99.9% of the time, just quoting those verses. But if you take these verses and study the whole passage, then they take on even more meaning than that. You know, we talk about studying things in their context, reading the verses and studying the whole passage of Scripture. And John chapter number 8 is actually a very controversial chapter in the Bible. There's a lot of controversy going on in this chapter. I'll show you just a few examples of what I'm talking about. It begins with the woman that was taken in adultery. And most of you that are Bible readers, you know about the woman that was taken in adultery in the very act. And they wanted to put her to death under the law. That's what they came to begin with. And they demanded, you know, what are you going to do about this woman taken in adultery in the very act? Look back at verse number 5. It says in the beginning, John chapter 8, verse 5, "Now Moses in the law commanded us," this is talking about this woman, "Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" That was a death sentence on this woman. "What sayest thou?" "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And so that was the answer of the Lord Jesus: the person that's without sin, let them be the first one to throw a stone. Let them commence the death sentence on this woman. Well, the Bible goes on down and it says that they were convicted by their own conscience and they begin to go away, beginning at the eldest down to the youngest. And so the Lord said to the lady there in verse number 10, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." So it starts out in controversy. And then in verse number 12, it continues on. It said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament scriptures and the name of God in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 14, when the Lord told Moses to go down into Egypt, and Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And the Lord said, "Say, I am that I am." So that's the name of God that God told Moses. When you go down there, say, "I am sent you into Egypt." And so we have in the book of John several places that the Lord Jesus uses "I am" in reference to himself. The Lord Jesus is God. God was manifest in the flesh is what the Bible says. And so whenever you find the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry using the title "I am," there's always a great controversy surrounding that, because the Jews, when they heard that "I am," they took that as the Lord Jesus being blasphemous, that he was blaspheming, claiming to be God. Well, he was God, manifest in the flesh. And that is what he's saying here in verse number 12. He's saying, "I am the light of the world." And so that was very controversial. Now, the result of this passage of Scripture, verse number 30, one result, it said over there, as he spake these words, many believed on him. So we have, when the Lord Jesus, all this going on around him, and this controversy about the woman taken in adultery, and then he says, I am the light of the world. Do you know what? There were those that believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all of them, but many of them. But look down in verse number 40. The other side, we might say, Jesus said this, but now ye seek to kill me. Well, you talk about a divided group. There were those that believed on the Lord Jesus. That's part of the congregation, we might say, the people he was talking to. But there were others that began to seek to kill him. And if you look down at the very last verse in the chapter, it said over there, chapter 8, verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. So they were going to kill him, some of them. So you think that your life has controversy. He had a lot of controversy. Some of them believed on him and followed him, and others, well, they wanted to kill him. They were outraged to the point of committing murder. And much of the controversy in this passage of Scripture can be traced back to one little word. And that's what I'm going to look at this morning, and it's the word if. There's several times in this passage of Scripture, and we're just going to look at four of them this morning, but the Lord Jesus used the word if. And you know, when you use the word if, Webster's Dictionary says this about the word if, and we use it all the time. It's probably one of the most used words in the English language. But when we use the word if, it is used as the sign of a condition, or it introduces a conditional sentence. So when you use the word if, there's a condition in there. And that if, and especially in John chapter number 8, it makes it real personal to those that were listening, because he says, if ye or if you. Now that makes a difference. Not just a general, you know, somebody can say, and Brother Carper mentioned this when he was preaching here a few weeks ago, you know, an athlete can get on TV and they win the game and they say, well, I want to give all glory to God. Well, that's real general. But if they say, I want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, well, that begins to cause people, they take it differently. It's a lot more personal. And so if is a conditional thing. And let me point out, first of all, we're going to look at verse 31. There's the if of discipleship. There's the if of discipleship. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Let's read that again. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, it said in verse number 30 that many believed on him. The Lord Jesus Christ is not afraid of overwhelming these new believers in him. And he just begins to talk immediately about them following him and being his disciples. You know, if you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shouldn't wait 6 months or 2 years or 10 years for you to start thinking about being a true follower of the Lord Jesus. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to follow him. You ought to follow him immediately and become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people in the world today that claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but do their actions back it up? Our actions ought to back up our words. And so the Lord Jesus said in verse 31, he said, now, and you got to keep this in mind, that it had just said, many believed on him. And immediately after that, believed on him, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And that if is conditional. That, do you really believe on me? If you do, you're going to continue in my word. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying. He said, if you do that, then, he said in verse number 31, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you know what? You ought to underline that little word indeed there, because it has a lot of meaning. When you find that word indeed in the scripture, what it means, he was saying, then are ye my disciples indeed, which means in reality, not just in name, but it'll be a fact. That's what the word indeed means. It means in reality. It means in truth. It means in fact, not just in name only, but following me proves that you're really a disciple. That's what the Lord Jesus, so he's making a distinction there. Now, you've got to realize that this sort of ruffled their feathers. I remember Preacher Honeycutt years ago, he said it like this, like petting a cat, like rubbing the hair the wrong way. You know, they don't like that. But he said, if you'll turn around, it'll feel good. And so this claim by the Lord Jesus, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed. In fact, in reality, that sort of ruffled their feathers, because if you remember in verse number 33, they had a great religious claim. They said, we be Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's seed. What do you mean? What are you insinuating, that we're not real disciples? We're not real followers? Because they said to the Lord Jesus, we want you to know we're Abraham's seed. We've got a great religious heritage. We are very careful to keep the law. That's what they were saying. We are followers of Jehovah God. We keep the law. Yet the Lord Jesus reminded them that they had a sin problem even in their very midst. Well, they had just brought a woman taken in adultery. If that's not a sin problem, I don't know what is. Look at verse number 34, what he said unto them after they said they were Abraham's seed. It said, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. They had a sin problem. And I've got news for us today. We've all got a sin problem as well. In fact, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a sin problem. If you say you don't have a sin problem, well, you've got a problem with lying, or you're dead one. Because we've all got a sin problem. We are all descendants of Adam, who we inherited that sin problem from. And you know what? It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're Abraham's seed. It doesn't matter if your grandpa was a preacher, or your daddy, or you grew up in church. It doesn't matter where you go to church. It doesn't matter how religious your talk is. You've got a sin problem. And the only way you can tell true disciples in this world is that they continue in the word of God. That's what he said. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And the word will clean you up. Did you know that? The word of God will keep you from sin. The word of God will warn you. The word of God is going to, what the Lord has given unto us, give victory in this life. I like what it said about the disciples in Acts 4 and 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, is what the Bible. Do you know, being with the Lord will have an impact upon your life? You say, boy, preacher, I'd like to learn how to be with the Lord like John and Peter, and when people seen me, maybe they would say, you know, I believe he's a real Christian. I believe he is real in what he preaches and what he practices. I can tell it by the life that they live. Do you know how you be with the Lord in this day and time? Right here in the Word of God. You want to spend time with the Lord Jesus? Spend time in his Word. Psalms 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." By getting in the word of God. Just following it and obeying what the Lord says. Jesus said in verse 31, there's the if of discipleship. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. There's the if of discipleship. Second of all, this morning, there's the if of freedom in verse number 36. He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, if the if of discipleship made them mad, and it did, this made them a whole lot madder. They were angry. And then they got more angry. They got madder the more the Lord Jesus Christ talked to them, the madder it made them. And so he said in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But look what Jesus said in verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. See, they're arguing back and forth. They're going on, they're getting madder as time goes. Verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. He said, you claim to be Abraham's children, but Abraham never tried to kill me. That's what you're wanting to do. They were so mad. Well, he had said, you're doing that which your father does. Look what he said in verse 44 to these Jews. He said in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now, boy, that really made him mad. He said, you're of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There's the if of freedom. And that, boy, that made them mad. He was preaching the truth unto them. I want to say something this morning. If you're really saved and you love the Lord and you want to do what's right, the preaching of God's word, the truth will not make you mad. It'll help you. You might get aggravated, but it'll just be aggravated at yourself because you know that it's the truth. But the preaching of the Word of God, if you're saved, it ought not to make you mad. It ought to make you glad that somebody will tell you the truth. Psalms 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But boy, don't we live in a day and a time where people get offended at the Word of God. And what angered them so much was that their claim to be Abraham's seed. In verse number 33, when they said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. You know what they found out when they heard the Lord Jesus Christ preach? They found out that in reality, even though they said they'd never been in bondage, they were in bondage. And when they met the Lord Jesus Christ, they met somebody that was really, really free. Because the Lord Jesus was the one that was free, and they were the ones that were living in bondage to their religion that they had. You know, you may not realize that you're a slave until you get around somebody that's free. You get around somebody that's really free, and you see how different your life is from their life, and it'll cause you to see the difference. And so they seen the difference in verse 36. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There's that word indeed again. You'll be free in reality. You'll be free in truth, not just talking about being free or never have been in bondage, but you'll really, really be free. And the reality is, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But they weren't like that. If your religion contains you, then you're not really free. You're a slave. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? If your religion defines everything about you and your whole life is just lived by touch not, taste not, handle not, don't go here, don't do, I'm afraid God's going to send a thunderbolt out of heaven. There's a lot of people lives like that. But you know what? If you're saved and you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not under condemnation anymore. You're not under that condemnation of the law and the death sentence of the Word of God, but you're free. Not free to live a license to do anything that you want to do, but like Preacher Melvin said to me one time years ago, he said, I'm saved and I can do anything I want to do. You remember saying that up on the bypass? And it shocked me. I thought, what kind of preacher is this? I'm saved and I can do anything I want to do. But, he said, since I got saved, I just don't want to do a lot of them things anymore. That makes good sense. If you're saved by the grace of God, He changes you. He changes you want to. We're not living by the Old Testament law, but we have freedom by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not contained by my religion. I am saved by the grace of God, and I have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's even fixed my want to's. A lot of things I used to want to do, I don't want to do that anymore. I've been set free. I'm not a slave to those things any longer. If you're controlled by sin, you're a slave. There's a lot of people that they're living the life of a slave. They do what sin tells them to do, and they are a slave to that. There's a lot of people today that'd love to quit drinking if they could, but they can't. They'd love to quit a lot of things that are going on in their life, but they can't. They're a slave to that. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You'll be free in reality. You'll really be free. If you're controlled by sin, if you're conformed to this world, you're living the life of a slave. And the world will make a slave out of you. You young people, listen to me. The world will tell you who your friends are to be. The world will tell you how to dress, where to go, what to act like, what to talk like, what kind of phone you're supposed to have. The world will dictate every little area of your life if you let it. And you will find that the world will make you conform to its image. You know that what that makes me think of is Chloe likes to play with Play-Doh. And she has molds, and you mash that Play-Doh into those molds, and you cut it out, and you can make one after the other, and they all look just alike. Do you know that's how the world is? Those that are out here that claim to be the freest, they actually all look just alike. They all got the same rebellious attitude. They're all wearing the same clothes. They're all talking the same talk. Is that not how the world does? But Paul said in Romans 12:2, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't have to be just like the world. And if you ever realize that by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're free, and you don't have to be just like the world, there's freedom in that. I can be my own person. I can be my own self. I can please God. And I don't have to worry what the world thinks about me or about how I dress or who my friends are or what I choose to do. You don't have to be a slave conformed to this world. Are you consumed by success? Are you consumed by money? You'll become a slave to that. Are you consumed about what other people think about you? And you know, that's a type of slavery. Somebody said the other day, this is what pays the bills. I got to go. I got to do. I got to make this much money. It makes a slave out of you. It'll make a slave out of you. But the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ will set you free from the bondage of sin. And he's got the power to set you free from the habits of sin. And he's got the power to set you free from the desire of sin. Now, I'm not saying you won't sin. Because as I said a little while ago, we're all inherited that sin nature from Adam. But I'll tell you, if you're really saved by the grace of God, it will take away from you the ability to be comfortable in sin and to enjoy sin. And although you might go out and do something you ought not to do, it'll make you miserable until you make things right with God. And if you claim to be saved, but you can go out and do anything, any old thing, and live any old way, and it doesn't bother you, I'd ask myself if I was really saved or not. Because if you're saved by the grace of God, you cannot be happy in sin. You cannot be comfortable in sin. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's no such creature in the Bible as somebody that gets saved and just goes on doing exactly what they were doing before. Because the grace of God will change you and it'll set you free. There's the if of freedom. Number three this morning, there's the if of belief. Look in verse 45. Verse 45 and verse 46. Bible said, Jesus said, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And notice this. And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Why is it so difficult to convince Christians sometimes? Now, I don't expect the world to believe what Jesus says. But I believe we can expect that Christians would believe what Jesus says. See, it said there that many believed on him. It said, you really believe in me? If you believe in me, why don't you believe me? Though I'm speaking the truth unto you. That's what he said. And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? If Jesus said it, we ought to believe it. But you know, there's a lot of people that go to church that don't believe what the Bible says. Try this sometime. You're talking with somebody about just about anything under the sun. And they say, well, I go to church. I believe the Bible. I believe the Lord and all of those things. And you get in a discussion about any controversial thing. Now, this chapter is controversial. But you get in a conversation about anything and you try this. The Bible says, just pick a subject, creation. You know, there's a lot of people goes to church that don't believe that God created the earth in 6 days. They don't believe in a literal creation. What about what the Bible says about the sin of homosexuality? What about what the Bible says about drinking alcohol? What about what the Bible says about just anything? Modesty, lust, fornication, I mean, and you'll get all kinds of answers. You say, well, the Bible says this. And I've heard all kinds of things. Well, somebody will say, I don't know. I don't know that I believe that. If you claim to be saved, how can you not believe that? That's what the Bible says. You'll hear people say, well, I don't know about that. So-and-so says this. Who cares what so-and-so says? This is what the Bible says. You'll get all kinds of private interpretations. You'll get all kinds of excuses. And you'll get all kinds of answers. But here's what Jesus said. Look in verse 47. He said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, I didn't say that. The Lord said that. That makes me wonder when I talk to somebody and they say, well, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I know the Lord and all these. Well, if you really are, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, if you really are saved, you ought to believe His words. I mean, I may not always line up to what the Word of God says, but I do believe what the Bible says is true.
We ought to believe what the Bible says is true. If Jesus said it, it's true. And we ought to believe, and it ought to be easy for us to believe the Word of God. Belief is not a bad thing, but we live in a world that makes believing a bad thing almost. But it's not a bad thing if who you believe and what you believe is the truth. And if we cannot believe that the words of the Lord Jesus and the Word of God is the truth, then you can't believe anything. And there's a lot of people in the world, that's exactly what they do believe. They don't believe really anything. And all you have to do is start talking to a few people and you'll realize there's an abundance of people. And in our day and time, now this is just insane that we live in such an advanced technological world. But you can go a lot of places right here in Boone, North Carolina, and you'll talk to people that seem to be very intellectual, and they don't believe in nothing. I don't believe that unbelief is the intellectual option. Did you ever talk to some people like that? Well, we've recently talked to people, and boy, some of the answers you get will just blow your mind. Well, how can we know that anything is real? Maybe everything is just a figment of our imagination. How do we know that anything? How do you know that anything's real? Well, I know that I got up in the middle of the other night, and I was having a dream, and I couldn't tell if it's real or not. You ever been like that? But when I stumped my toe, I knew that pain was real. How do you give me a break? How do we know anything is real? I know one thing. I'm going to get real hungry here in a little while. And I know, how can we know anything is real? My goodness. And how can anybody claim to be smart and go around asking things like that? I know a lot of things are real. More than anything, I know the words of God are real. It's true. But Jesus said there in verse number 46, He said, and if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Belief is a good thing if what you believe is true. And if we cannot believe the words of the Lord Jesus, well, then I guess nothing is true. Here's what Hebrews 11:6 says. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's a good place to start. Belief in God. Belief in the Word of God. Belief in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's the if of belief. He said, if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Boy, that you talk about a contradiction. Well, one last one, verse number 51. Let's go over there. Here's a verily, verily. Now, when you find a verily, verily, pay twice the attention. There's something in there. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Boy, I like that. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, I'm not looking to die. I'm not wanting to die. Most sane people that I talk to, they're not looking to die, wanting to die. But you know what? As a child of God, I'm not afraid of the subject. I'm not afraid of talking about dying. I'm not afraid of the aspect or the potential of dying. In fact, I know that one day I'm going to die. And like D.L. Moody said one time, he said, you'll hear that I'm dead. He said, don't believe it. I'll be alive, more alive then than I've ever been before. There's this thing about dying, and somebody the other day, they was wanting to sell me something. I said, yeah, I'd like that. I said, I'll get one when I've got some money. He said, no, take it on. I said, I'm not going to take it on. I said, I may get out here on the road and go down the road and die in a car crash, and you'll be out $15. He said, I'll just go dig through your bag and get it back or whatever. But a lot of people, they can't even talk or think about dying. But dying is just a fact of life. We're all going to die. We're all going to face that time in our life. But if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we don't have to be afraid of death. In fact, Jesus said, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Look over in John chapter 11, just a couple of pages. What does he mean by that? Because when Jesus said that, they thought he was crazy. They thought he had a devil is what they thought. John 11, 25 and 26. This is talking about Lazarus. Now Lazarus was dead. There's no doubt about that. He was right within sight. And he was in the tomb. He'd been there 4 days. But John 11, verse 25 and 26, the Bible said, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He's talking about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, you'll never die. Look back over here in verse 52, what they said to Christ. We read verse 51, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Verse 52 said, then said the Jews unto them, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. It was true that Abraham had died, but it was not true that Abraham was not in existence anymore. He was alive. In fact, if you read in Luke chapter number 16, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus knew exactly where Abraham was and what he was doing. He was in paradise, ministering to Lazarus, having a conversation at that time with a rich man that had died and went to hell. Abraham was alive. You know what Paul said over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8? He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you die and you're saved, you go to heaven. You go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're more alive because you're not in a dying body. Do you know every one of us here today are in a dying body? It's decaying. There's no telling what sickness dwells within any one of us here this morning. But if you die in the Lord Jesus Christ, you go to heaven to be with God. You have eternal life. You'll never die. You'll never die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yes, we will physically die if the Lord doesn't come in the rapture. Romans 5 and 8 said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death affects everybody, but it doesn't affect everybody the same. Death affects little children. It affects young people. It affects middle-aged people, mamas, daddies, old people. Death affects everybody. You're saved by the grace of God, it doesn't affect you the same as it does somebody that's lost. So I want to ask you today in closing a question. If you died today, where would you go? If you died today, if you get out in the parking lot and go down the road and there's a terrible accident, and don't think it couldn't happen. Happened the other morning, it might, right in front of our house. I seen the sheriff fly down the road. And I thought to myself, something bad's happened. Sure enough, it wasn't long. Here come others and others and others. Here come the life flight helicopter. It can happen so fast. Don't think it couldn't happen to any of us today. But if you did die, what would happen to your soul? Where would you go? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Know that there's a day, there's a time in your life where you can say, yes, I know that the Lord saved me. I was 9 years old. I was 15 years old. I was 25 years old. You ought to know that. There ought to be a time and a place in your life. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know if I died, I go to heaven. All right, let me ask you this. What if the rapture happened today? You don't think we're not living in the last days? We're living in the last days. What if the trump of God sounded when we all stood before the Lord and we go to the judgment seat of Christ? 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." They some going to have confidence and they some going to be ashamed. If you stood before the Lord before the day's out, would you say, "If only I had done better"? There's that if word again. What if I had made a decision for Christ when I heard that message, but I didn't do anything? I stood there. I knew I needed to do business with God, but I didn't. Have you ever been in that position? Spirit of God, speak to your heart at church. You know you need to do business with the Lord, but you just don't for some reason. What if? What if I'd let God have his way in my heart? Would it be different? We're all going to stand before the Lord one day. What's it going to be like? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.